sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters. Period.
All right. We're good. We're rolling.
Rolling.
Okay, rolling, rolling,
rolling, rolling. Da, 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 da. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I just inhaled an ice cream sandwich. I feel fantastic.
I love them. I used to not like them when I was a little kid. I didn't understand them. But then somewhere along the line, I turned the corner. And I can't say that I've had one in years. Mm. But, it sounds really good. Yes.
Yeah. And it's my quarantine diet is just, it's gone to shit. So I eat when I'm hungry, which means I just kind of graze throughout the day, a little bit here, a little bit there, whatever. And I really can't be bothered with cooking anything. I just grab quick stuff. Mm. I don't know what that's all about, but, Yeah. So ice cream sandwich at 5 o'clock at night, that was probably should have been my supper time, but, I have little, ham and, King's rolls, those little Hawaiian rolls.
That's like the little buns, the little, yeah.
Little mini sandwiches. I'm going to do little mini ham sandwiches for dinner later. So
ooh, yum.
Once my ice cream sandwich no longer suffices me and I have a break in my work routine here, I'll go out and indulge. But so what are we hitting today?
Well, we had a question. Yay, questions.
Yes,
thank you. I love them. So the question was, can my boyfriend, and this came from a female, can my boyfriend know that I've made love with another guy after making love with him?
Ooh.
So, yeah. And we don't have a lot of information beyond that. So the follow-up questions that – some of the follow-up questions that I have for this person is, you know, are they concerned not only about the fact that she had sex with – her boyfriend and then this other person, or is there also a concern that it was very close timing wise? Like,
that's what I'm that's what I gathered from that question would be that she had fucked somebody and then she went and had sex with her boyfriend. And the way I picture this going is that perhaps something was off and she thinks her boyfriend knows.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And her, the order that
receive it. Yeah.
Right. And the order is that, yeah. Can my boyfriend know that I've made love with another guy after making love with him? So I don't, yeah. So was it in the space of an afternoon or is this a general question of I have a boyfriend and then I had sex with somebody else?
Right.
So I think those are two very interesting questions. They're two different, but interesting questions because there are, you know, there are some people who have the oh my gosh, you cheated on me, but oh my gosh, you cheated on me in the same day, you know,
right.
that has a whole different level of wow, right? And the way that it hits a person. So, yeah. So I think there's a lot of interesting answers to this question, a lot of questions that go along with the question, but we have what we have. So let's work with that.
Do you want to start or do you want me to start? What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of different things about this. So I don't know. I'll throw this out there first, but like I say, a lot of different perspectives to this. So it comes down to the, you know, is there concern with that? The time frame was very quick. You know, that's one concern. Is it just that she had sex with another guy in general? So it's the, oh my gosh, do I tell him or not? Right.
Right.
And I think that's a huge question. We don't know anything more about this person than it's a female and her boyfriend is obviously the people she's talking about are men. So we know that, yeah, that's a dicey thing because I mean, my default is you want to be honest. You want to, you know, if that gets found out, like, and there are a lot of other questions too around safety, around culture, around like, we don't know anything about this person's like culture.
I can say she's from a foreign country.
Okay. So that adds a whole nother piece in it, right? Is there a safety concern? Right. And then that goes for anybody. It's not just a cultural difference, but there are other pieces that can add to this discussion around culture. But and that brings to the, how do you broach it? Now her phrasing is making love. So made love. So I'm going to say that I'm guessing it's consensual.
Yeah. It sounds to me like she cheated on her boyfriend.
Right. So And so then comes the question is, how do you handle that? And I think, again, my default is that you want to be honest, but you want to be honest carefully, right? What is your intent? Is your intent that you're going to continue sleeping with this person? Is your intent that, or, you know, was this really a one-time thing? I know that some people would say if it's truly a one-time thing, then maybe there's a reason that you chalk it up to making a mistake and move on and don't make it an issue. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know though that I don't even know that any of that stuff was really the question. I'm wondering, like I'm thinking of it totally from a place of she's a woman. If she chose to have sex with two men, what is... I took it that she was kind of wanting to know how her boyfriend could possibly know if she
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, from that perspective,
that's where I was coming from.
Okay,
because I don't want to shame her if she made love to this first person and then she had sex with her boyfriend. She's obviously, I mean, there might be a journey going on there. She may be going through some sort of growth. Maybe it's not as easy as leaving the boyfriend.
Right. There's a lot of unanswered questions.
A whole lot. Yeah.
Yes.
But actually going from having sex with one partner going to having sex with a second partner, is it physically something that you can tell?
Right.
And the answer is it can be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, if her concern is, oh my gosh, I think he might know, but I don't know. How could he possibly know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The thing is that when you have sex with somebody, the vagina is malleable. It extends, it contracts. It is like not a balloon. I'd want to say, like one of those Chinese finger extension things.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There you go.
That's kind of how I picture it, you know, is that it elongates and stretches, out like elastic, and then it comes back together over time. There's an elasticity piece. So when the penis enters the vagina, it will dilate to fit. The vagina will dilate to fit. So it's supposed to. That's why a lot of women, after they have babies, feel as though their vaginas are really loose and that doesn't feel the same after, because the baby is so big, has dilated and stretched out those walls and tendons and all the fibrous tissues around it, that it can't elastically get back to where it was pre-children. which that can be tightened with doing exercises and stuff. There's a ton of muscles down in that area around your Kegels, around your transabdominal muscle, your pelvic floor muscles, all of that sort of stuff can be worked out just like the rest of your body to make that tighter. But when we're just talking about sex, it's often seen when you are watching, say, a porno movie. Mainly it's seen, we'll use anal sex more as an example. Anal sex, there's often this thing that's done where there's the plunging of the penis into the anus, and then the man pulls out and it leaves a gape. It's called anal gaping. And it shows how your body can expand for the size of the penis, and then it gradually closes again. Now, this happens with the vagina as well, but we can't see it as well because we have the flaps of skin around the labia, you know, the labia majora, labia major, labia minor, and all of the clit folds, and we have tissue and fat and all that stuff that's all down there. So it covers the opening, I can see the word. I can't pronounce the word. The entrance to the vagina. I don't need to be, you know, whatever. The opening. Yeah. I can't pronounce the word. It's just not coming to my brain. You know, last night I'm sitting in my office and I thought to myself, you know, where did I put that platter from Thanksgiving? I got up away from my desk and I went to the kitchen and I searched for the platter. My husband's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, don't we have a platter? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, where is it? And I had to just physically put my eyes on it, touch it, and then be like, oh, okay, it's there. and he's just looking at me, shaking his head, like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I just need to know where things are at. Well, the entrance to your vagina is there, I promise you. All that being said,
I love it. Oh my God. I totally understand how you feel though about your place. Like, I just need to know. I need to know.
It's there. It's
okay,
there.
Good. Now I can sleep for some reason. Why? It's not going to be important for another year, but it is right now. And I cannot get it off my brain until yes. And your vagina is there and you can see evidence of it. It's just,
yes. Right. So the vagina, it expands when you're having sex. So here's the thing. If you have a sex with a big cock guy and then you have sex with somebody that has a smaller penis, they will probably be able to tell the difference more so than if the first guy you fucked had a small cock and then you went and had sex with somebody with a larger penis. Does that make sense?
It does. And then they're... Yes, so
order, so place order your matters. Know your order.
So if you're having a threesome, this is a good thing to think about.
Yeah, size matters. Do all it right. In a gradual scale so that everybody gets their fun, you know.
That's right, exactly.
So yes. When I read this question, I thought about it from a couple different angles because I have been to gangbangs and I have I work with some sex workers and I talk to them about their appointments and how do they make each individual appointment? How do they make each person feel like it's the only appointment of the day? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you do that? Because some of these girls, they'll book 10 appointments a day. So it's like a revolving door. And one guy will leave and high five the next guy coming in the hallway. I mean, that's a joke, but sometimes their schedules are that tight because they're that in demand. Mm-hmm. And then there's other people who stretch out their appointments that they only do 3 or 4 appointments a day or maybe one a day. And they're able to just fully engage with that person and give their body time to get back to the way, you know, it was pre-sex so that they're not twitching from their last orgasm when the next guy's entering them. So, you know, but this is, it piqued a lot of questions in my mind. Like I was even thinking, well, if it was really close, could the second guy feel the orgasms still going on in the body from the first guy?
Ooh.
because you can't, if you're in tune with your partner, if you're that attentive and you pay that close to your sensations and you're that engaged in this sexual energy transmission, you can feel the orgasm inside of a woman. So a lot of it depends on how well connected they are. And my guess is if that is she's cheating on him, it's not that connected for her, but could it be that connected for him?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I was thinking was, well, let's keep it on the physical part first. If you're not very good at hygiene, or if you're not practicing safe sex, there could be the odor or smell of cum left mm-hmm. behind. Some people's cum has a very distinct, pungent smell. Other ones really, some of it's viscous, some of it's watery. There are whole fetishes around cream pies, which is the cum coming out of the vagina and being cleaned up on the outside, like a stuffed donut, you know, mm-hmm. where the Boston cream donut, where you see a little of the cream coming out the hole, you know, that's kind of what a cream pie is. So, there's that. So if there wasn't ample time to really clean herself up, and if it wasn't protected sex, or even if, because we didn't even talk about whether the second guy was penetrative. Mm-hmm. If he's going down on her and she has the taste of a latex condom on her, he's going to taste latex.
Right. That was what I was thinking is, yeah, that can be a thing, you know, for sure. If it's like, wait a minute, where did this come from?
Yeah. So right? He could taste another man's cum. Mm-hmm. He could taste that she's not clean mm-hmm. down there if she normally keeps herself clean right. because it would taste different. And there's the taste of whatever prophylactic was used. So,
right. Well, and also
if you used a cherry one, you're right. going to really give yourself up because there shouldn't have been cherries down there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right. Well, and not to mention, if that other person had cologne,
yep.
you know, and you're mm-hmm. that sting on your clothes or whatever, and some of the cologne, oh my God, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm even just hugging a guy. I've had shirts that I've gone through the laundry and it's like, oh my gosh, it's still there. You know,
yep.
It must be like an oil-based cologne or something. But yeah, so something like that. Or, you know, she might have just been feeling like awkward. Like,
well, that's the psychological part is, well, if she has trepidation about him catching her mm-hmm. and she responds differently during sex, or she's hypervigilant and acts like a whore just to please her boyfriend so good that it's out of character for her and she's acting like
kind of making up
strange,
for it.
Right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Or if she feels so guilty that she can't make eye contact, or when she's kissing him, she's thinking of the other guy. I mean, there are a lot of cues that we give off with our bodies through our body language and through the exchange of sexual energy that it could be tremendously apparent, tremendously, if the partner pays that close of attention.
Right.
You know, if they're that engaged. So, you know, and I really, really feel like that's a really important part of it. There were some guys that responded. I actually put this question on my Facebook page because we're women and we have our ideas, but we've never been a man and penetrated somebody after she had sex with somebody else.
Right.
So I went to poll the audience to a couple of, and of course the gentlemen who answered are men who I would perceive as a nice way to put it, maybe connoisseurs of women, that they enjoy the female company, female form, female sex, you know, in whatever capacity. So they may have been in a place where they know,
because mm-hmm.
that's important too. You know, if it's never occurred to you and you've never experienced it, you can't really weigh in on this unless you're talking from a medical, anatomical, logical mm-hmm. place, you mm-hmm. know. So from experience, one gentleman says that never occurred to me. One gentleman says by behavior, mm-hmm. so how she acts. One gentleman says her mouth feels different.
Oh.
So maybe she, you know, if she was going down on a guy and her mouth has like the lubey stuff or mm-hmm. has a taste or, you know,
I'm curious about the feel different, like feel different on him, feel different in the way she kisses, feel different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, is it?
I can imagine.
Intent.
Right. What's going on in her head? I'm also thinking that, you know, if you were coming from another person that you were kissing, and then you came to your normal partner, and if you sort of, you know, guys kiss differently, right? And you, you kiss them differently. So if you kind of dove in with the other guy, the physical habits of the other, the muscle memory of the other guy, and you dive in, that it could feel a little different. And I almost hate to say all this because I'm like so afraid some people are going to listen and then go, ah, that's a sign, when it might just not be a sign in the moment. You know, it might just be something completely benign. So,
well, that's what I was thinking too, is like, I don't want to plant the seed of jealousy in people's minds, or that their partners, or things to look for in their partner, if they think that their partner is cheating. The best answer is always to communicate. that's the best way to do this, is just to communicate. Another guy here says, if you know your lover well, you'll notice differences in their vagina. It will feel almost tenderized, if you will. So you could imagine that when you first start to play with a woman, if she hasn't had sex, and say you wake up in the morning and you haven't had sex since the previous day, her vagina will probably feel a little more rigid until it swells and, you know, starts to have blood flow in there that's engorging. And what he's kind of saying is that it will be softer and more tender if she's had sex with somebody else first, because it will be engorged.
Sure.
So that makes sense too. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like this guy, he says, better yet, don't date shady bitches. So, you know your girl, you know her difference in relation to her hormone levels at different stages of the cycle. You'd pay the same kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting question. You know, for those people who choose to be more sexually active and own their sexuality and don't feel shame about their number of partners they have, you know, if they're an ethical slut or however you want to call yourself, whatever, there's no slut shaming in this. That's not what this is about. This is just talking about the way the vagina works. And I think that the true like thread through the whole thing is the connection piece. Don't you? Or do you think, I'm wondering if she isn't just feeling a lot of shame.
Right. Well, right. And yeah, it is. Right. It's the scariness of, you know, so let's just say she did it. She slept with this other person. It's not going to happen again. Right. Like it was a one time, whatever that happened. And she's freaking out because it's scary. You don't want to hurt the other person. And yeah, so there could be a lot of guilt and a lot of shame going on around that. And
or she slept with a guy and she plans on sleeping with him again, and she's trying to time out the way her vagina feels.
Right.
It's her choice. I mean, that's her choice. I don't want her to feel bad about whether it was one time or many times, or, you know, if she needs to change the dynamics of her relationship to an open relationship or something like that. That's where the communication piece needs to come in.
Well, and it's about knowing yourself too. What is going on? What is this happening in such a way that, you know, I think of people who are continually get into relationships that they're like, no, I'm going to be monogamous. I'm going to be monogamous. And then the fifth relationship ends. Why? Because they weren't monogamous. And it's like, okay, you need to change what you're doing and how you're entering relationships and not making the promise of monogamy, because you're hurting people and making promises that it's just not how you work or how you know. So I guess there's a lot of questions that can come with that too, like how that all happened. But I think it's something to look at for somebody of, do you need to be in an open relationship? Because that is how you want to participate in sex.
We could even zoom out a little bit more and say, okay, well, what if you're in a polyamorous relationship? Should you be, and this is obviously a woman top coming from a woman question, so it's a female concern or thought or whatever. But, you know, maybe that's something to talk about when you're in a polyamorous relationship, if you're having sex with multiple partners. Does the second guy want you to leave a little more time between dates? I mean, because that's considering your partner.
Right. Exactly. And if you're really diving into the polyamorous, what are the guidelines you're using in your relationship? That's one of those things that might come up. And that is, I mean, I know that is some people, that is the rule, that is their relationship rule, quote unquote, is that they don't sleep with the other partner on the same day, or that there is this time frame that people all feel comfortable with. So it's a consideration of, for some people, that's not a big deal. And for other people, it is. So what works for you and your partner?
And now, as I'm sitting here, I'm even thinking about like masturbation and stuff. So ladies, if you're listening and you're worried, you can always fall back on saying you were masturbating with a dildo, because it would do the same thing. If you were using a dildo and stimulating yourself inside and having a vaginal orgasm through masturbation, self-sex, solo sex, it would still swell. So there would still be orgasm present. All that kind of stuff still happens if you reach climax, and maybe that's how you reach climax. And maybe you're not reaching climax with your partner. Mm-hmm. So don't feel guilty about it, I guess, is really what it comes down to. Just know that your body, it does have some telltale signs. There is some anatomical things that will happen. I have a very trusted friend who is a purveyor of ladies. He's a very wise man, and he saw my question and he responded to me privately, and he gave me a homework assignment. and I'm supposed to report back to him about my findings, and it's actually on this. And he was the one who was like, I think you should wake up in the morning, take a picture of the entry to your vagina, masturbate with a dildo, and then take a picture of the opening of your vagina every 10 minutes for a period of time. And then the next day, wake up and do it, and then continue the experiment to see if there's a measured closure of that entry, or if it stays the same. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, he's giving me like full out homework to do.
That's hilarious.
I thought about maybe trying to do in time for the recording, but then I was like, no, I guess that information isn't really necessary for everybody to know. Today it was open 3 centimeters. No, I don't.
Well, that was my question. Was like, how do you get that picture and have it be the exact same distance? And there's a lot of questions there. How does that picture take you?
Well, I take a lot of selfies, so I could help with that. That's you can figure out a way to prop up your phone. You can either hold your phone between your feet.
Oh yeah, so I suppose that's true.
And set a timer. So, and then you just lay in the same position, and you know, like, put a marker, like, look at your bedspread and count how many flower prints your legs are from your twat, you know, whatever.
Right.
And I mean, there's ways to do it. If you really want to be very accurate and try to prove or disprove this thing, you know, go for it. I'd love to hear what you come up with. Everybody's vagina will be different, obviously, because we're all unique individuals. But and I would even think, you know, somebody who has the shorter vaginal canal might actually benefit from somebody having sex first and stretching out, lubing up, all of that kind of stuff, then having a second partner have sex. I'm trying to find the positives, you know, like I'm always, sex is not bad. So we have to figure out where we can reframe this and make this a win-win situation. Oh, honey, I was just priming myself for you. You know, like he was just the warm up. That was the water boy, you know, I was getting ready for you, big guy, you know, whatever. I don't know. That's a lot of pressure, but I give her a lot of credit for being interested in how her body is working and stuff. I just, I hope she's not feeling too much guilt and shame around it, that she's actually like giving herself up if she's not ready. The communication needs to happen between her and her boyfriend, obviously, right, in order for that to not be a pain point for her. But
right. Well, or yeah, or a future issue. I mean, again, there's a lot of pieces that can be involved in that that one doesn't necessarily know. So we don't know what her circumstance truly is, or the arrangement and her true concern of this situation. But yeah, yeah, communication is huge. And communication with herself as well. I mean, I think the whole, what, you know, for her to know, what does this mean for me, and how is she feeling about it?
Right.
I mean, how is she feeling about whatever happened? So,
well, and I really want to go back to the whole thing where she says, I made love to the first guy,
mm-hmm,
and then had sex with my boyfriend.
Well, no, she said making love with both of them.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. She said, oh, okay. I made love with another guy after making love with her boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So just, yeah. So they were both.
I don't have the question in front of me.
Right. So that right there actually was an interesting thing to me too, that she used making love, you know, and again, we don't know this person. So maybe that is how she frames
all sex,
right. Good, bad, forced, not whatever. But again, if I look at it at face value and say making love, these were two good experiences, and now she's concerned on, she's trying to figure it out on whatever level. So yeah,
that's pretty much what I have with that. It got me thinking back to the gangbangs that I visited when I was in my year of sexual exploration, mm-hmm, and I always wondered what it was like for the last guy. Like, what's the point? What's the point of being one of 20 people in a row that's fucking one woman? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, it's a thing, obviously. There is a thing. I think it's usually more of a thing for the woman that's doing it. Like, she's putting herself out there for a purpose or a reason. And there's no time in between. I mean, these guys, they line up and they just go at it and go at it and go at it. So what is it? I mean, the vagina holds, it must hold enough of a shape,
mm-hmm,
that these guys are able to get off by the time the 20th guy fucks her.
Right.
Because she's still got a vagina and he's still fucking her and he's still getting off on it. But, you know, at what point would it be no fun anymore, or not a sensation that was pleasurable, or, I mean, would that ever happen? I don't know. I think the record number of, like, the world record gangbang, I'm going to look it up.
Oh, wow.
I'll look it up right now. World record gangbang. Hold on. I still have alien sex on my phone from the last one. Let's see. World record gangbang. World's biggest gangbang. 300 men.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people. That's a lot of penises.
Yeah. Oh, think of all the penises. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
300 men. It was a total of 251 sex acts. 49 of them couldn't perform.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, and it's actually been made into a documentary.
Oh, wow. What's the documentary called?
It's called World's Biggest Gangbang.
Oh, well, that's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So.
Wow, that's just, and that's one woman.
One woman. Yep. Do you want to know her name?
Sure.
Her name was Annabelle Chung.
And when did this happen?
1999.
They're making sure they were not going to get caught up in the Y2K, not being missing.
That's
that
right. That's right. It was, yeah, it was.
Okay. So I'm curious about that. That makes me want to watch the documentary, because I'm curious about her and how she felt after that. How long did it take her to be able to sit down? And yeah, did they go in order, smallest to biggest? All right, you line up. Nope, you here. You're number 40.
Ron Jeremy hosted it.
Oh, should not have been surprised about that.
Right.
Okay.
And there were fluff girls there who were giving blowjobs to help men stay hard in preparation for fucking her. So they would already be in a state of arousal before they started.
Right. So she didn't have to do all of that work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was just bringing them to completion then.
Yeah.
So, which I think is probably a good
thing. That's what's considered the sex act, the fact that they came. Right. So that was, there were condoms used for the event, but professional performers were allowed to participate without them. So they must have been porn stars that had been tested.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, got it. Okay. Huh.
Uh-huh.
Ron Jeremy. There's a name I haven't heard for a while.
It pops up all the time for me.
What's that?
It pops up for me all the time.
Oh, yeah. I saw him at the Sex Expo in Minneapolis years ago. I wonder if it was before or after. I think it would have been after. It would have been after, definitely after. That's fascinating.
It's one of the highest grossing pornographic films on record.
Really?
And the girl, she was supposed to get paid. She was supposed to get paid $10,000 for doing this, and she never got a dime.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that's curious, because now my question is, was it worth it?
Yeah.
I mean, $10,000, you might endure some, okay, I'll suck it up. Right?
Yeah, literally.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry she didn't get paid. That's not, because that makes me not want to watch the documentary now.
Yeah, to not support it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is amazing. She's actually a beautiful, beautiful woman who majored in fine arts and qualified in web development and retired from the adult industry completely in 2003, but has held the record.
Wow.
So very, very interesting. Anyway, so I just wonder what it felt like for the 300th guy.
You know, I would be curious about that too. Yeah, what is, because again, you're a part of that, right? So you're a part of this big event. So you want to be there. But what did it actually feel like?
She's a very petite woman, and she is of Asian descent, which, you know, the myth out there or the story is that they have really tight vaginas just from their stature and their genetics and stuff like that. So perhaps that's why she was chosen to be the one to take it and be able to take it to the end where guys are able to get off. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, that's something to think about too, is your build. I didn't think about that. You know, if you're probably on the smaller side, it might be harder to tell.
Well, right. And how fast does I think it's also individual, obviously, you know,
how you respond,
body,
how fast do you rebound
back into, right. Exactly. I mean, I've heard women who have had large babies and large penis, husbands who have said that after they had their kid, you know, the vagina didn't go back, so that it was a little more challenging, or smaller penis husband, sorry, wrong way. So the vagina had, you know, stretched out, and it took a long, long time.
Yeah, this is a good place to talk about episiotomies too, because after women have babies, oftentimes the doctors will do an extra stitch as part of the episiotomy, like they're doing customer service and it's like a bonus. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes that leads to very painful sex because the opening isn't meant to be that tight.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, every time they have sex, it's painful entry.
Eek, that's,
you know? Because it's really the inside that gets stretched out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the opening gets stretched out too, but the inside is the part that swells and contracts.
Right. And the outside is the one taking the brunt for everything. So if that's small, and then especially if there's still room inside for, you know, maybe the vagina hasn't gone back down to normal size, then there's a lot of pressure being taken on that place that they've stitched you together.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
No kidding. So, yeah. So a lot of stuff to consider there. The mind, body, and spirit, you know, you got to consider all things. So I just hope that the listener is not carrying a lot of shame. And if there is a lot of shame or guilt or fear around it, that she would reach out to someone she can talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I offered, but I wasn't able to connect with her. So I hope that, you know, if she hears this podcast and knows that we responded, I'm sure we can probably link this right to her through the Sex Matters page directly, so that she makes sure she hears it.
Right.
And if she needs further guidance, she could just reach out to me through DM.
We'll or follow up with us and, you know,
let us know what happens.
If we are not reading her question correctly.
So yeah, maybe there's a whole different story to the thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So who knows.
Wow.
But that was a shorter one. Figured that would, I just thought that we'd be talking about that a lot longer, but I guess it really just kind of breaks down. It's one person, one scenario, one situation. Right. And we kind of just picked it out from every angle that we could possibly think of with the information we were given. So,
right. Well, and especially sticking with the physical of the direction that you're kind of going with, that takes the ethical conundrums out of it.
Right.
You know? And thank you for sending your question and reaching out to us. That's wonderful.
We love questions.
It's always
even
fun.
Topics. If you have an idea for a topic you'd like us to hit on, all you got to do is shoot it. You don't even have to elaborate.
Right. And, you know, and like with this, it was kind of like, okay, here's what we have to work with. Here's the question. Well, let's go with it and we'll see what happens. And so, right. That's cool. So bring it on, peeps. Bring it on. Yeah. But before we go, let's make sure people know where to find you on the web.
Okay, it's www.patriciaengelking.com. So you can find me there at my website. You can send me an email through there. You can send me a DM through the Sex Matters podcast page, or you can find me on Facebook. I have my book is available on the Sex Matters podcast page, which is sexmatterspodcast.com. So if you're not listening on that site right now, you can go there and you can get the book there or through Amazon. But if you buy it through the Sex Matters podcast, we get a little kickback. So that would be much appreciated.
Very appreciated. Yes. Yep. Yes. And you can find my podcast at wellnessrenaissancepodcast.com. It's a weekly podcast. You can also find it on wherever you listen to podcasts, or you should be able to anyway. And if you're not, you could certainly shoot a message and let me know where it isn't so I can try to get it there. Yeah. And if you like Sex Matters and you would like to support us and you're in a position to do so, you can definitely on the sexmatterspodcast.com webpage, you can find the Become a Patron and join us on Patreon. I'm still waiting for you to send me your little Final Frontier
song. Geez.
We can put on Patreon.
I gotta find it again. It's lost in my computer somewhere.
When you find it, we'll stick it on as a Patreon. People can enjoy that. That sounds delightful.
And just so people know, Patreon is a page that just helps artists and people like us that are putting stuff out into the world. It helps us to sort of recoup some of our expenses and costs and stuff. It helps us keep what we're doing with and for you and for us on going, so that we don't have to detract from this and go to something else. So you can donate or gift as little as $2 a month, as much as you'd like. And that's less than a cup of coffee in most places. So if you would feel generous and you like the work that we're doing and you listen to our podcast and walk away thinking about the things we talk about for a couple of days, we'd appreciate a cup of coffee. Absolutely. That's the least you could do is buy us a cup of coffee after we've talked sex for an hour. You know, can I have a cigarette? You know,
exactly.
No, just throw a cup of coffee on our Patreon page. No, we'd appreciate that very much.
Yes, for sure. Thank you to those people who are currently supporting us. We absolutely appreciate it.
Alrighty, till next
fun
time.
Stuff. Yes, till next time. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you all for listening, and see you next week.
Okay.